115-108, Lakers all over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay, not all over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Lakers get past the Cleveland Cavaliers. A big fourth quarter for the Lake Show, 28-19. They outscore the Cavs. I mean, listen, the story here is very simple. Lakers 14-4 on the season. They're 10-0 on the road. LBJ is the story. We are getting a chance right now to just see greatness on a night-in, night-out basis. First of all, greatness is this. Greatness is when you can control a game like LeBron James does and not just handle business on just the offensive side where it's just scoring, or you're just able to facilitate and you can't do other things, or you're just a rebounder. LeBron has the ability every single night to drop 30 points a night, get you 15 dimes, get you 10 rebounds. That's not unheard of at all from LBJ. And the reason why I mention that is because right now at 46 points for a game like this for LeBron James, it's just a special night. So let's enjoy this one. There is a lot more than just LBJ tonight, but he's the storyline. I mean, the only other thing I would say is the 10-0 on the road is an absolutely ridiculous stat to start off the season, and it's definitely a franchise best for the Lakers. But this all happens with LeBron. I really don't want to waste too much time here. I'm going to open up the phone lines, 877-710-ESPN, if you want to give your thoughts on LeBron James and certainly this performance tonight and the Lakers as a whole. Look, you didn't want a game coming down to the wire against the Cleveland Cavaliers, but give the Cavs credit. Cavs fought. I mean, I heard Michael Thompson say it a couple of times during the broadcast that give them credit because they definitely were fighting in the sense of they felt like they had a shot in this game. Lakers gave them some kind of hope. When you have Andre Drummond dropping 25 and 17 and Colin Sexton had 17, I think they had maybe five guys in double figures or four guys in double figures. They were in this game. I mean, fourth quarter, this could have gone either way. LeBron took over from there. Hit those threes that I talked about, hit that fadeaway right side of the basket where it actually faded into the double team and it didn't matter. And that really was the story of the game at 115-108. Great contributions from Montrezl Harrell. 15 points and 6 rebounds for Trez. 6 of 9 from the field. Great contributions, I thought, from Anthony Davis on the defensive side. 3 steals and 3 block shots. AD struggled offensively. AD just was not in a rhythm at all tonight. He was just 5 of 16, I think, from the field. Had 17 points. Then you look at Alex Caruso getting that opportunity on the defensive side as well. He had 2 steals. So that's really what you want to see. You want to see if one player is going to go off the way LeBron did. You got a lot of these other guys that still helped kind of contribute, even though their stats really didn't tell the whole story. Dennis Schroeder had 10. KCP had 10. You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. Okay, let's get AD's thoughts on the game. AD, just kind of give everybody an idea of his full stat line. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 block shots for AD. AD on the Lakers, 7-point win over the Cavs.
Going early in Chicago tonight, LeBron seemed to be hot from the start. Just what did you see from him? And when he's hot like that, how do you adjust your game, if at all, on the offensive end?
Yeah, I mean, we get out the way. You know, he's at home. Like I said, I had to go in Chicago. I was at home. You know, he come back. You know, he's at home. He gets it going early. So that's what it is. I mean, when he's playing like that, it's fun to watch. You know, it's amazing to see the shots he make and the shots he take. You know, he's a hell of a player, great player. And you know, everyone's cheering for him. He's back at home. So we missed it last year. And so he get a chance to come back in and score maybe 45, 46, or something like that, back at home. So it's fun to watch. But I think for everyone else, we make shots for him to open the floor up. And when we made a couple of those shots, he was able to have a paint. He was able to have his jumper, you know, get to that line. He had whatever he wanted. And he carried us to the win tonight.
You know, if you're not having an efficient night or your typical night on offense, do you double down even that much more defensively? Or I guess you always bring it on D, right? But is that something that you think, hey, all right, I've got to make sure to contribute this way on this end?
Yeah. I mean, I pick it up more defensively. I try to offensive rebound, try to set good screens to get other guys open. I just try to do the other things that maybe don't show up on the box score. So, I try to find other ways to impact the game and let the offensive side just come naturally.
Dave?
AD, LeBron had that block on Colin that was ridiculous. The block after the challenge. There was the turnaround shot on the baseline. There was the logo three. Was there any moment in that kind of run he had that really stuck out to you? Like, okay, he's really locked in. This is a special night for him.
I knew when he had 19 in the first, 17 in the first, or something like that. Oh, it's over. It's one of those nights for him. He was, getting to the basket. He was hitting his three. Getting to the mid-range, hitting his turnaround. So, he wasn't missing. He had a very efficient game. And then late in the game, like you say, hit, I think, three threes. Got to the basket, got the steal for the dunk. So he was everywhere on the floor, making shots from everywhere. But after the first quarter, I knew it was going to be a good night for him.
Kyle?
Hey, D, I know you are sort of a perfectionist and probably are already thinking about next game, especially when it comes to your defense. What gave you guys the most problems that Cleveland was able to do? Was it the pace? Was it the rim pressure? Where was the biggest pressure for you guys?
I think they might be number one in the league in deflections and forcing turnovers. And we were kind of fed into that in the first half. We got a lot of deflections. We had a lot of good looks in that third quarter. We just missed a lot of wide open shots. But, in their pace as well, we got a lot of young guys that play fast, starting with Colin Sexton, who pushes the ball up the floor, and find guys. And Osman, got hot from three, finding up pins, down screens and things like that. So, they're a young team. They play hard. They play fast. They get out in transition and they force turnovers. And we had a couple turnovers early that kind of got them going.
Dan?
AD, obviously LeBron did what LeBron did, but how important were those Kuzma offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter and then some of those Caruso deflections and steals? Seems like those plays when you guys were really sputtering kind of kept giving you a little life.
Yeah. Big time plays. That's what Kuzma do. He crashed the offensive glass all the time. And I think he got three on the one possession and kicked it out to AC. And I think AC hits the three. And he had one on the other end in the first half as well. AC, pressure on the ball. Collin drives to the basket. He gets a strip late in the game. And so all those plays are huge plays and momentum boosters for us, especially when we're kind of going back and forth with the team and we kind of were stagnant on 100 for a while. We didn't score. Our defense kind of, kept us ahead and those big offensive rebounds by Kuz. So, two guys who don't get highlighted enough, but they do all the dirty work for us for sure.
We'll take two more. Bill Orr?
Hey, AD. In this year and a half you've played with LeBron, what have you learned about him and what separates him? I mean, you're universally considered a top five player in the league also, and all these other guys around the league. But what is it that you, in your opinion, separates him from some of the other superstars in the league and that he's able to go out and do the things he does?
I haven't played with any other, the top guys in the league. So I don't know what those guys do. I only can tell you what I see, and it's probably gonna be the same thing that everybody else say, but just being here and being around him, the way he locks in on a game, on a team, studying their plays, what they like to run, at which point in the game, personnel, he's always watching film. He's watching film on us, how to get better. He kind of see things before they happen. And like I said, I can't say other, top players do it because I'm not around him. I can't say that, but he's very professional. He wants to win. And, being here in a year and a half, I see it every day.
Last question, Kari Jones.
What's happening, AD? as a lead player like yourself, who does things that might not make the stat sheet, you know, how beneficial is it for you to know that you're still impacting the game at a high level and your stats don't make the sheet?
Yeah, man, all I care about winning. You know, we win, I'm fine. Like I say, Bron had it going tonight. You know, I had it going in Chicago, and Bron kind of, you know, was like, here, AD. And, you know, I'm setting screens for him, get him open, get him the mismatches so he can go to work. You know, that's what we do. You know, we complement each other very well. And, you know, neither one of us is, you know, jealous of the other guy. You know, we try to find other ways to impact the game. You know, Bron in Chicago was, you know, talking on defense, getting deflections, getting out of transition, finding the right guys for open threes. And tonight I'm trying to do it on defensive end, you know, rebounding, blocking shots, you know, pressuring the guards, making them take tough shots at the rim, you know, protecting the paint, you know, setting screens for him to get him mismatches because he's at home. So, you know, we just try to – and that's our entire team, to be honest. You know, we try to – you know, do things that don't score, that really don't show up in the stat sheet to help us win. And, you know, that's how we want to win. You know, we got to be able to impact the game other than scoring. And I think everyone on this team can do that.
I could listen to AD all day when it comes to some of his, you know, criticism or compliments on the team. He talked about Kuz making things happen on the offensive glass, doing the small things. LeBron, just his greatness, the way he approaches his game. And then AD talked about, listen, all I care about is winning. I do not care about my stats. If we do look at his stats, those three steals and those three block shots, certainly on the defensive side, a big key to the Lakers' win. Lakers over the Cavs, 115-108, the final score. Kyle Kuzma coming up next. Thank you for being a part of the show. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Here is Drummond driving to the rim. Anthony Davis pokes it away. Drummond gets it back. Colin Sexton driving to the rim. Sexton, bounce pass, Drummond. Blocked by AD from behind. Spectacular block by Anthony Davis. LeBron has it coming the other way. LeBron down the middle. LeBron all the way. Lay it up and in. 38 for the King.
Wow.
The Lakers lead by 7. 105-98.
Defense to offense for the Lakers. Great calls from John Ireland tonight. By the way, just to kind of play off of that, 7 steals for the Lakers, 7 block shots for the Lakers. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. For more than 25 years, Adriana's Insurance has been the champion of savings. Visit savewithadrianas.com today. More options, no contracts, just savings. Lakers over the Cavs. 115-108, the final score. One of the role players tonight that we probably don't talk too much about, and so much of what Kuzma does, everybody kind of looks at it from more an offensive perspective. Kuz only took 5 shots tonight, but he found ways to impact the game. He had 6 offensive rebounds. He had 8 rebounds total. Had 4 points as well. Was a +10 in the plus minus. Here's Kuzma on the Lakers' 7-point win over the Cavs.
Kuz, you guys knew coming in the Cavs and certainly what they're capable of, the way they've been playing as of late. This was just a 3-point game late there in the fourth. What would you say was required of you guys defensively to get the job done?
I don't think it – obviously we won the game because of defense and Brown hit some big shots, but we really won in the last – quarter and a half with just energy. You know, we picked our energy up. It was different than, you know, the first quarter or 2 quarters and a half. And, you know, we kind of just changed our energy and it changed the momentum of the game. And we got obviously more baskets on the offensive end because of it. And we made them turn the ball over. all four. So
energy paired with more baskets on the offensive end is because a lot of you, obviously career high with your 6 offensive rebounds. You guys were out rebounded as a team by 3. But Kuz, what's the key for you when you're facing a team that's got the size that are so good at rebounding to get those extra possessions as you were able to tonight?
It's very important, especially for a team like the Cavs. They play 2 7-footers sometimes. They play 2 true centers. They have arguably, you know, one of the better rebounders in the history of the game with Drummond, someone that, you know, is, he lives on the glass. So, you know, coming into this game, we knew that that was going to be a tall task for us, especially hurt us a little bit when Mark picked up 3 quick ones in the first quarter or second quarter, 1 of the 2. And, you know, we just knew we had a fight. We had a fight. So,
Kuz, one final point from me. Obviously, you've played with Bron, you've experienced some of his zones. Big Game was just talking on the post-game show. It's hard to really put into words anymore because he continues to just rise. But being in Cleveland as a teammate of his and watching that kind of unfold the way it did for him tonight, what was that like?
I mean, the biggest thing, anytime we play one of our teammates, former teams, we don't want to let them down. We don't want to lose, let them lose to that team. And, you know, historically in Bron's career, whether it's Miami or Cleveland that, you know, I've been around and witnessed, he doesn't like to lose to those teams that he's played for. And he just rises to the occasion every time. That's just what he does.
Thanks, Kuz.
All right, we've had some new faces join us. So, guys, please do indicate in the chat if you have a question. For now, let's go to Leonardo.
Hi, Kuz. This is Leonardo Torres from Peru. Kuz, tomorrow marks a year since Kobe's death. What does it mean to you to continue his legacy with the Lakers jersey?
A lot. You know, it's you know, obviously it's a tough thing to talk about, but, you know, when you think of the Lakers, you think of him, and you just, you know, you just want to play as hard as possible and, you know, play with that fire and fierce mentality that he did.
All right, let's go to Brad Turner. BT, I think
you're on mute. About that?
Yep, there you go.
Your rebounding has really increased and improved this season. How has your game evolved in that direction? Is that something that you have fully concentrated on?
Well, you know, this year, you know, my scoring opportunities are just very scarce. That's just the way it is, how our team is built, constructed, where I am. So I don't want that to affect, you know, how I play and how I contribute to this team and just trying to make an impact. To win the game. You know, to me, that's all it's kind of always ever been, trying to win games and do whatever I can to, you know, leave my imprint on the game and just trying to play hard every possession.
All right, let's go to Spencer Davies.
Spencer Davies, basketballnews.com. Kuz, the bench this year is a little bit different looking, obviously. But did you ever sense the one-upsmanship from Montrez when he was going against JaVale? It looked like they were having a little bit of a nice competition there on the floor. And he's obviously been so huge for you guys this year already.
What do you mean one up? What does that mean?
One-upsmanship, you know, trying to get the better of another. Cause it looked like JaVale even was, you know, doing a little bit of taunting on his own. So it looks like that Trez was trying to show him that it was his place now too.
I wouldn't take it that far. You know, I think it's just the way both of those guys compete and they play. Obviously, I played with both of them, JaVale for 2 years and Trez for 1 year, and they both have just a extreme competitive fire and competitive spirit with the game of basketball. And when they're out there, they like to talk and they like to rile themselves up and you know, play ferociously, and it's great. You know, it was great when JaVale was here for us, and it's great when Trez does it for us here now.
All right, we have time for one more with Kuz. Let's wrap up with Kyle Goon.
Hey, Kuz. Frank told us that you guys have the day off tomorrow, and I know you guys are going to be flying to Philadelphia, and there's probably going to be some emotions with that. I'm just curious, what are you planning to do tomorrow? Are you going to try to make it a regular day? Or are you going to try to make it a day reflection? How do you want to spend that time?
I don't know. You know, it's tough. You know, like I said, it's a tough subject for me to talk about. You know, obviously going through it right now, you know, over a whole year since it hasn't been here. So, you know, try to just make it normal as possible. But, yeah.
All right, that's Kyle Kuzma right there. Of course, every Laker and every Laker fan, tomorrow is you know, certainly a tough game, but or a tough day, and certainly a lot of the players are starting to respond to that. Lakers over the Cavs, 115-108 the final score. Let's do this when we come back. 877-710-ESPN. We'll hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. If you want to be a part of the postgame show, start calling in now. The great thing about tonight is we got the postgame show, plus we got the Scott Kaplan show tonight. So if we don't get a chance to grab some of your phone calls, Scott will. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Pizza at Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint. Lakers lose the points in the paint battle 60-52. Most important score at the end is obviously the W, 115-108. Still kind of coming down, coming off this high from what LeBron James did tonight, his 46 points. The man with the best seat on the sideline, head coach Frank Vogel, will get his thoughts on what he thought about LeBron James, the rest of the team, the 10-0 start on the road, the 14-4 start, and we'll see if he chimes in a little bit on this next game for the Lakers, which is going to be an incredibly tough game, Lakers versus the Sixers, Sixers with the best record in the Eastern Conference. Here's a Lakers head coach, Frank Vogel.
Hey, Frank, your thoughts on LeBron's game?
pretty awesome. You know, just to see that he can still turn it up like that. Obviously, he wanted to win against his former team here. And, you know, came out of the gates really strong. You know, a lot of defensive communication still, even though he had 46 points. You know, still quarterbacking our defense and really just carrying us down the stretch. You know, great defensive energy, but the shot making was just ridiculous. And, you know, just one of those nights for the ages for him.
Yeah, he's having one of the best shooting stretches of his career. You know, there was 1 year, 12-13, where he was 40% from three. But have you noticed anything specifically on that end with the way that the shot looks, where he's getting it, and just the role of what the offense is?
Well, it's you know, and we've been encouraging him to shoot over the top and to beat defenses because he shoots it at a high clip, you know. And, you know, defenses are going to try to sag off and try to keep him out of the paint or whatever. You know, this is sort of, you know, if you're going to make a parallel, you know, guys like MJ and Kobe went into the fadeaway jump shots out of the post a lot towards the later part of their careers. He's doing that as well, but he's also – you know, bringing that ability to beat teams from deep in the modern NBA, which, you know, is an acceptable part of this era of basketball. And, you know, he shoots the heck out of it from that range. And, you know, I don't really, if I'm playing against him, you know, I'm not really sure what I'm doing to try to slow him down when he's shooting the ball that well from the perimeter.
Kyle?
Hey, Frank, before the season, there's a lot of talk about the possibility that, you know, you guys might find games to rest LeBron. And I think before the season, you were a little hesitant to commit to things. And then by the time the season started, you sort of said, well, we want to play him as long as he's ready to go. I'm wondering, even like early December, when you guys are just starting training camp, were you already pretty certain that LeBron would would just play through it and just be able to go every night, or how sure were you on what your approach would be?
Didn't know what to expect. You know, he was going to have a green light and encouragement to manage his body early in the season based on how he was feeling. And, you know, we were prepared to, you know, to let him sit some games out, you know, from time to time. He hasn't needed it. He's felt really good and wanted to stay in there. And, you know, we always give him the green light to stay in there too. So, you know, it's going to be that type of, it was that way last year with our group. It will be this year throughout the whole course of the season, all the way through the 72, before that we get to the playoffs, where, you know, we trust him to manage his body with the communication with the medical team. You know, little bumps and bruises like the ankle that it can be sore from time to time for him. And, you know, we just make these decisions on a game by game basis. But the plan A is for him to play. And then if there's a reason why he needs a game off, then, you know, then we'll give him a game off. But there hasn't been one to this point.
Dan?
Like, obviously, LeBron did what he did, and it was ridiculous. But I'm curious, were there any other things that – any other kind of winning plays that you noticed in those stretches where you guys were kind of pretty rocky offensively? Anything that really stuck out to you as, like, that was the life that you guys needed to keep going?
You know, I don't know if it's one specific play, but I just know that, you know, obviously he's got a chance to make every shot he takes when it's over the top, and when he attacks the paint. You know, he's typically going to make a great read, you know, and he's still creating shots for others. And, you know, like I said, defensively, you know, the physical presence that he brings to our team, as well as the, you know, the mind, the IQ, and the communication, you know, the barking out coverages and actions on the other team, really just impacts winning on a way that, is unprecedented. It's unparalleled, you know, and the box score says 46 points, but, you know, obviously he did so many other things to help us win.
That was a horrible question, Frank. I meant the other guys.
Yeah. what ways did the other guys? Well, I think.
Yeah. I think of Kuzma's offensive rebounding
Kuzma's offensive rebounds. Caruso's one-on-one defense. I mean, he does some things defensively that you don't really understand how he does it, but he just does it. And, you know, I thought there was a team. It was a good team win. I mean, Trez had really good minutes. Wes Matthews and Keith came in and had good minutes. The bench overall was really good. Mark battled Drummond. KCP does what he does in terms of his speed on the break and defensively. AD didn't have a great night, but really during that final stretch, you know, really protected the paint. And we got some key stops that were necessary to pull this thing out. So, you know, Ron at 46, but this was definitely a team win.
Bill?
Hey, Frank, you described this as pretty cool just to watch. I'm wondering, you know, in the year and a half now you've been with LeBron, where does this rank on, like, kind of the ridiculous hang your head and laugh sort of, you know, just outrageous, outlandish performances for him? I mean, in terms of magnitude, I'm sure the championship obviously trumps all, but just on a night when it just kind of floors you with what he's able to do.
It's right up there, you know. You know, obviously just coached a, you know, a very difficult game, down a stretch type of game. So, you know, my mind's not going to all the other performances, but it's right up there with the top for sure.
A couple more, Dave.
Frank, when he got up there for that block on Sexton that was originally called a goaltend, did you know in the moment that, oh, I'm going to go to the challenge, or did he have to convince you at all? And do you think that the fact that that was called a block, it helped the momentum he was building in that quarter?
I think it did help the momentum. And, you know, it was pretty clear to me, you know, that it was, you know, it was a goaltend. But, you know, what I always try to measure with that is what value are we gaining if I'm right, if I win the challenge? You know, and a lot of times you can save a challenge for a key possession late in the game to keep a key player from getting foul trouble or to take away three free throws. You know, this was going to be a, you know, take away 2 points and not get possession. It would be a jump ball. So, you know, there's a little hesitation. I always seek validation from my coaching staff to see, make sure that they're seeing the play the way I saw it. And, you know, they all felt the same way. And, you know, when you make a play like that, when it's kind of a momentum play, I thought it was the right time to make the challenge. And, you know, obviously we ended up getting a stop on that second possession to save those 2 points and, you know, kept our run going.
Last question, Brian Kamenetsky.
Hey, Frank, you know, Dan mentioned Kyle and his offensive rebounding, things like that. He's sort of, I think, embraced kind of an energy role, filling in whatever needs to be done on any particular night. I don't expect you to speak for him necessarily, but in your experience, what does it do for a player, particularly at that point in his career, to have the kind of security, to have a contract, know he's going to stay somewhere, to be able to do those little things and kind of give up some of the other stuff that they might otherwise worry about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that may play a small part, but I really think with Kuz, it's a very small part. You saw him do this last year. You know, you saw him sacrifice without the contract extension, sacrifice his individual scoring and numbers and find ways to impact winning in any way that he can, whether it was defense or rebounding or running the floor, just bring overall energy in. And I thought the last two games he did that exceptionally well. And he didn't show up with a, you know, high scoring total. But, you know, to think that it's because of the comfort of the contract, I don't think people should see it that way. You know, I think he's just trying to win games. You know, he's just trying to do whatever he can to help this team win. And that's commendable.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel right there. When we come back, we'll take some of your guys' phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. We'll also take a look at the next matchup for the Lakers, and the Philadelphia 76ers. So make sure you stick around here. We appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, quick reminder, coming up next, the Scott Kaplan Show. So make sure you stay tuned in all the way till 10 p.m. tonight. I do want to take a few phone calls here. Damian in Highland Park. Damian, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead.
Awesome, Alan. Thanks for having me on. I just got to say, you know, LeBron's going to get most of the attention, and rightfully so. 46 points, age 36. But, you look at what he got from the guys around him. You know, AD didn't have a great game, but he had Tress coming through with 15, you know, Kuzma with 8 rebounds, 6 offensive rebounds. And then, you know, Schroeder and KCP had off nights too. They were still in double digits. And I got to say, when they're playing like that, it's awfully hard for me to see anyone beat them on a given night. And it's darn near impossible for me to see them going down in a 7-game series, not to look too far ahead, but just, great all-around play, great team win, and just go Lakers, baby. Hard for me to see anyone taking the chip this year other than the Lakers.
Damian, appreciate you calling in. Long way to go, but listen, I'm with you. I get what you're saying. I mean, you know, I get this opportunity to sit in this seat. We're watching the games. We're listening to the broadcast. It's a damn good team. AD struggled tonight, too. AD just went 5 of 16 from the field. But these are things that Anthony Davis does. 3 steals and 3 block shots. Caruso had 2 big steals. You mentioned already what Kyle Kuzma did. Dennis Schroeder, KCP had 10 points each. Lakers didn't shoot well tonight. Lakers struggled. Let me look real quick what they shot from the 3-point line because I know they were struggling. 31% from 3. Cleveland shot 43% from the 3-point line. So, I mean, really, when you do look at it, it's not like this was an ideal game for the Lakers. It wasn't. But it's one of those games where LeBron went off for 46, and he shot 19 to 26 from the field. It's a beautiful thing to watch because it's not going to happen every single night, and it happened in a Lakers win. All right, Anthony and Burbank. Anthony, you're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Anthony.
How are you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for calling.
I have a comment and 2 questions. LeBron, amazing. I mean, him and Jordan are just like 1 and 1A in terms of the GOAT conversations. I've been watching basketball since 1987. My 2 questions are, Marcus Saul, he looked terrible today. He was just so slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's baffling to me that Dwight Howard was not signed. I mean, we signed Jared Dudley and Quinn Cook for the minimum. Dwight Howard signed for the minimum with Philadelphia. I mean, his athleticism, he's a lob threat. I don't know if it was because of chemistry issues or why Dwight Howard wasn't signed. I want to see what you think about that. And also, Dennis Schroeder, I think Alex Caruso should play more minutes as the backup point guard instead of Schroeder. Schroeder's not a very efficient basketball player. If you check his field goal percentage and his three-point percentage, is very, very low. And ever since Caruso came back to the lineup, we're a much better team.
Appreciate you calling it. Let me say this about the Dwight Howard part. Listen, there's a lot of Laker fans that wish Dwight Howard was still on this team, and I get it. I'm with them actually. I'm a huge proponent of what Dwight brought to the table last year. But I've said this, and I'll continue to say it. Give the Lakers some time. If the size is an issue, I think they'll address it. Remember, you still have the trade deadline. You still have the buyout market. I mean, the Lakers are not going to sit back, and if it's a backup center that's the difference and they need a little bit more size, I'm sure they'll find a way to, you know, obviously shore up that position, especially when you're the favorites to go back-to-back. So I think Lakers, give them some time to figure out if this is something that's a major issue. Lakers still had 7 blocks tonight, by the way. Okay, the other part about Dennis Schroeder. The one thing I like about Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, and this was the same thing last season, it does not matter what your name is and if you're in the starting lineup, if you're not in the starting lineup, whoever's playing the best is going to get those final minutes. And the last couple of games, you've seen Caruso. You almost can't take him out at the end of the game. It's not because Caruso's going to give you 20 points. It's because Caruso finds a way to impact games. He had 2 steals. Dennis Schroeder's fine. He's 4-9 from the field tonight, 10 points. What I'd love to see from Schroeder more is get to the basket and create for others. Can you find ways to get more assists rather than just one assist? Can you have 4 or 5 assists? I think he's too talented of a player to not get that. Let me grab one more quick call here. Ken in Newport Beach. Ken, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, good points on the last caller. How good was LeBron today? Well, let me throw some numbers at you. The starting lineup, not named LeBron, was 12 for 36 from the floor, mm-hmm. 1 for 13 from 3, and everyone not LeBron was a minus on the court.
Jeez.
You talk about an unbelievable, dominant game. With no LeBron, they would have lost this game by 25 points.
You might be right. You might be right, Ken. Ken, appreciate you calling in. Thank you. Let me just kind of set up real quick what we got coming up. So, Lakers taking on the Philadelphia 76ers is on Wednesday. Pre-game show will start at 3, tip off at 4:30, so another early game. So, be prepared for that one. This is where Philly sits. So, Philly's sitting at 12-6 on the season. Weapons all over the floor. Just think about what Joel Embiid brings to the table. Think about what Ben Simmons brings to the table and his skill set. I mean, just kind of go down the list. Tobias Harris is a nice player. Seth Curry, you know, one of the premier shooters in the NBA. You got, I think, 5 guys on that team, 6 guys on that team that average double-doubles. Ben Simmons is another 8 rebounds and 8 assists on top of what he does. Philly's a good team. It's a great challenge for the Lakers. It really is. This is one of those, in my opinion, this is one of the kind of marquee games on the schedule. And, you know, when you look at it big picture for the Lakers, you already started off this road trip 3-0. You've already put yourself in a position, you know, obviously with the best record in the NBA, 14-4. Everybody knows how good the Lakers are. But this game coming up, this is going to have the hype that the Milwaukee Bucks game had to start off this road trip. And Michael Thompson and I in the pregame show were like 2 little kids, giddy and excited because it was Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that's the challenge that the Lakers got coming up against the Philadelphia 76ers. So I'm certainly looking forward to this one. And if you're looking for statement type of games, and the Lakers got that statement win last week against the Milwaukee Bucks, they'll have an opportunity against another talented team in the Philadelphia 76ers to have another statement win. For now, let's enjoy LeBron's 46 points. Let's enjoy this performance tonight, and let's enjoy another Lakers win. Okay, couple things to promote here. Coming up next, the Scott Kaplan Show. So Kaplan will certainly continue this Laker conversation. If I'm correct, I think Spiro Dedes is coming up as well on the Scott Kaplan Show. So stick around for that. I got Lakers talk coming up tomorrow night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Great list of guests coming up as well. So Make sure to hang around tomorrow all day starting at 5 a.m. We greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.